hands. Amen. And so in the earlier service, I didn't mention about my trip this year because I need for you to pray with me, like I've asked you before, to always remember to pray for me. I'll be going to Kenya in April with my wife. We'll be going to do a women's leadership conference. And then after that, I'll go to Rwanda for Bible school graduation, Rwanda, Burundi, and then Congo, and all those places. If you read anything about them on the internet, you realize that things are happening there that are not very good. Challenges. But I need to go there. Congo has just gone through a major transition, which really has surprised us. We didn't even think that the president would be willing to step down of that nation, because he's been in leadership for over 20 years. So, but at least he was willing to step down. That's unusual for most Africa, if you know anything about Africa. So he was willing to step down after the election. So we pray that there'll be no problems as we go in later on in April. So I'll be in Africa for about 5 weeks, and I need your prayer cover. Well, I'll be gone there especially. I know some of you have been praying for me over the years, as you've known about our ministry. And so we do appreciate that. Also, if you could remember, somebody was asking me this morning about my son, because he came here, Cornelius. He was out of school for a while. He wanted to just think about his life and what he needed to be. And he has just gone back to the university. He's doing well. And so please remember to pray for him as he continues with his studies. He's grown in the area of worship, which is really a joy to me. Every parent wants to see their kids serving the Lord. And so I've been so happy that he's really grown in the area of worship, singing, playing the guitar, the drum, and the keyboard. And it's really been a blessing to see that happen. So please remember my kids and my grandkids. It's really a blessing to see what God is doing in their lives. Amen. I want to share with you a message that I believe is very timely for this season. And there's a reason. Before we read the scriptures, and you can turn to the book of Ephesians as well, we'll be reading. But before I go to the reading, there's a section in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, that talks about people called the sons of Issachar in the scriptures. And the commendation is kind of very interesting. It says, of the sons of Issachar who had the understanding of the times. They understood the seasons, because it's important. Because sometimes God can move, and you are left not knowing anything has happened. I was giving the earlier service how when I came to Christ in 1970, as a young teenager, there was a revival happening in my country, a major revival that swept five nations. And then, just before the end of that revival, another wave of revival swept over our nation. And then, out of that revival and many other revivals, you find three kinds of people. You find some people who sense the wind of the Spirit and they immediately get involved. And those are the ones who benefit. And then there's another group of religious people, very religious, who say, we never did it this way. And they will observe the moving of the Holy Spirit from afar. They are not involved, they are not hating it, sometimes they are not even fighting it, but they are saying, this is not the way we do things. And sometimes they are left with nothing. And yet, the revival will continue. And then there's another group that, because of their preoccupation with what they are involved in life, they don't even know anything happened. So they will hear it in books later on and they say, oh, I was alive, but I didn't realize anything happened. So the question is, because, you see, we are in 2019, and if there is anything I'm hearing in the prophetic, is that it is a year of breakthroughs. Somebody say breakthroughs. It's a special year. This is a very special year. Last year, the Lord moved mightily, and there were things that were happening. The ministries were growing, even in our own fellowship. The Fountain of Life churches, we baptized over 200 people last year in different places. Actually, there is one place we baptized 70 people at once in one church in Burundi. So there has been a lot of things happening, you know, everywhere. I even sponsored a building of a church in northern Kenya among the refugees in a place called Kakuma, and I'm going to dedicate that building in April. I also sponsored another project. Some friends of mine in Atlanta gave me the funding, and we were able to build a church for the pygmies, those short people in Congo. Some of you remember I had told you about going to preach among the pygmies. And by the way, there's you need to pray for some breakthroughs among the pygmies, because the pygmies are living like 50 to 100 years behind the average modern life. So they're like living in the 1940s. Their lifestyle is like they're back there. Most of their places, they have never seen electricity. You know, they don't know. Some of them have never seen a paved road. They don't even know how a paved road looks like. So that kind of lifestyle, very, very backward and so on. But they need the Lord. Amen. Yes. So please pray that the Lord will help us. And not only me, but several other ministries that are trying to enter into the interior of Congo and other places and bring the gospel to those precious people. Amen. Yes. So we are doing something was happening even last year. People are being saved and everything else. But this year, in the prophetic, and it's not only from Armstrong Chege, it's really in the prophetic world, you are hearing it everywhere, that this will be a mighty year of breakthroughs. Mighty breakthroughs. Salvations, healings, miracles. One of the emphases has been that even God is releasing his angels, whereby it will be not just the, because even right now in this room, there are angels. Amen? Amen. If you believe in the Bible, there are angels. Because God says that he releases his angels to accompany us. Psalms 91, he says that he has given a command for his angels to accompany us all the time. So I believe in this. But he is this year, there will be more divine, angelic visitations, and even where God will himself show himself, where the angels are visible to our naked eyes. Amen. And that's possible. You know, one time, you know, I don't know why, but I grew up in a church where we thought angels were historical things way back in history. You know, we used to say angels appeared to Daniel, you know, angels appeared to David, angels appeared to whatever. And it was always like 1,000 years ago. But guess what? Especially this year, 2019, God is saying through the Holy Ghost that, yes, he's releasing massive numbers of angels around the world. Amen. To help in hastening the work of the kingdom and for us to be able to do mightily. So he's sending angelic hosts to work with us. Amen. Amen. And you know, I hope and pray that you, of the three groups, that you'll be the group that gets involved in the work of the Lord. Amen. It's very, very important. Very important. Before I read the Bible, I want to tell you also a story I told the first service. In 1985, I was here in California. I lived here. 84, 85, I was in California going through Vanguard University, and that's how I met your pastor. That's how I met Pastor Drew those days. We were younger. He can tell you I had a lot of hair then. And around that time, when I graduated from, I did my graduate work in Vanguard. We were the second class in their graduate program that time. The school that time was called Southern California College. It was not Vanguard. And we graduated with a short lady from Southern California. We were in the same class, and they were very, she was newly married. They were good friends of mine with her husband. I remember that time I had just brought my wife to America. I couldn't bring her to California because of funding. So she remained in the Bible school in Pennsylvania. So in December of 1984, the young American couple asked me, "Are you going to be seeing your wife?" I said, "I don't think I will, because it's all the way in Pennsylvania, and I don't think I can make it." They said, "No, no, we'll pay for you. We'll pay for you to fly." Back there, there was an airplane called Orient or something those days, some little flight. So they paid for me to go, and we became friends with this young couple. And then we graduated, but those days there was no cell phone, there was no, so I, you know, there was no social media, so I didn't know where they went. So they went, and I went my way. Well, God called her to Africa as a missionary. She went there to, and by the way, we belonged to the same fellowship. That time I was serving the Assemblies of God, so she went to Africa, and she didn't succeed. Disease, infirmities, challenges, no salvations, and she was so frustrated. On the other hand, I was very fruitful in my ministry. because I grew up in the leadership of our church. I was a presbyter, then a district superintendent, and so on and so forth. And something was happening. I was for a time in charge of the whole district. Later on, the Lord helped me to plant about 65 churches with that particular denomination that I was serving. So something was happening. I was very happy. And I was so happy that I forgot that there is always more. Sometimes you can be settled for less when the Father has a feast for you. This other lady, you see, me, I was settled. I was like, I'm okay. And then I heard that the glory of the Lord is coming to a place, a few places here in California and Canada. And I was suspicious because I was so settled in my ways. Remember I told you there are three groups. One that feels the Holy Spirit is moving and they get in what God is doing. Another group that says, I'm okay. You know, and sometimes they are not backslidden. I was not backslidden. I was still a preacher. But that time when the Holy Spirit started moving, my friend that graduated me, she was so tired. Nothing was happening in her life. So she rushed to Canada, Toronto the Toronto Church, Vineyard Church. She when the invitation was given, the conference, she ran. She was the first one to get the altar. She fell at the altar, was filled with the glory of God. The fire of God came upon her. She couldn't walk for 7 days. She was full of the glory of God. She couldn't do anything. She was just lost in the glory of God. When she left there, the same girl, the lady that I told you we graduated together, she went back to Africa. The same place where she had failed and she had struggled, immediately with this glory, people started getting saved. Amen. They would hear that somebody has died. They go there, surround the dead, and the dead comes back to life. And not once. They have raised over a dozen people. I don't even remember the number now. It's many people who have raised from dead. Remember, she was not as fruitful as myself that time. But after the glory, because she sensed the signs of the times. And I'm using this as my own example so that you can see I'm not putting anybody down. Armstrong Checker is the one that was not sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. My classmate, she grabbed at the moving of the Holy Spirit. She went back home. Today, my ministry has been fruitful and I'm happy. We have planted over 400 congregations. And somebody would say, oh, that's wonderful. Guess what? That girl who was like 10 years after me has planted 4,000 congregations. Because she was sensitive to a time and a season when the glory of God was moving and she captured the wind. So this comes as an emphasis to each and every one of us. 2019 is that such kind of an year. It is the law. The Lord has spoken over and over and over around the world that 2019 will be the year of the breakthrough. When the glory of God will be here and where the mighty angels will be released to work with us in partnership with us. Be very careful not to become the next Armstrong Chege who missed when God was doing something. That young lady, her name is Heidi Baker. She was my classmate. Today, the Lord has used her than probably any other lady of this particular generation. A tiny little woman from Southern California. By the way, her home is not far from here where she was raised. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, God can do it again. Amen. And especially this season, because he has promised that I hear it everywhere, even when I'm praying, that God is about to do something great, something marvelous, miraculous, mighty things happening. So it is, but it's going to happen for people that will be waiting to capture it. I remember when I was young, there's a time I didn't miss the wind of the Spirit. When I was very young, I was only like 16. And the glory of God started sweeping our home village where I was born and raised. And I remember saying, Lord, I am willing to go. I'm willing to do whatever you have for me to do. And I remember praying. I remember going to the woods. Away from my village in Africa was way in the woods. There was not even a paved road near my village. We were just somewhere. There just small pathways. I went through one of those pathways, went deep in the woods, slept on the floor, on the grass, and started weeping and calling upon the name of the Lord. I said, Lord, I want you to move my life. And I remember some great anointing came upon my life. And I started preaching, in places, and hundreds of people came to Christ through my ministry when I was only a teenager. Amen. And so for this year, 2019, I want to allow to raise your expectations to a higher place. Because listen to me, you can never ask too much to the Father. His table has more than enough. See, anytime Jesus multiplied food, like when he fed the 5,000. By the way, when we say 5,000, it was not really 5,000 people, it was 5,000 men. And many meetings, religious meetings, who are more? Not the men. So I can almost imagine they had 5,000 men, there was at least 7,000 women, and possibly another 7,000 children. So there was much, but every time Jesus multiplied food, you find him saying, would you pick the fragments? There was something left. Why? Because when God releases his blessing, he always releases more than enough. Amen. Amen. When he gave the manna in the wilderness, guess what? The Bible says, you go and pick manna from the open, and the Bible says there was more than enough. That they didn't need it, but it was there. God will give this year more than enough. Amen. So listen here, it's very key. It's very, as we get to this message today, I want to emphasize that God has come with mighty visitation, with mighty releasing of his angels upon us. And this is not for preachers. This is for the children of God. Amen. If you are a child of God, you know him. The scripture says in St. John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the children of God. If you are a child of the King, that great anointing is about to be released to every one of you. Every one of you. And this is your year to receive more from the Father. Somebody say, there is more. There's more. You cannot, you see, but by the grace of God over the centuries, once in a while, the Lord has allowed some people to have what people call near-death experience, where they just go, and some are even given tours of heaven. And every one of people who have had that kind of experience, they always come saying, oh, I thought I knew about heaven, but when I went there, I realized it's more than I expected. The beauty, the joy, the peace, the glory, the light, everything they say is more than I expected. Guess what? That's what God wants to do to his body here on earth. Amen. More blessings, more power to heal the sick, more power to deliver the captives. Amen. So may God give us men and women that are like the sons of Issachar, who sends the signs of the times. And grab at it. Our brother Lester Summerall, some of you may know him from books. Lester Summerall was a guy from Indiana, and I met him about 30 some years ago in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, when I used to be in America before. And he said something. He said that God had showed him that whenever there was a movement of the Holy Ghost, he quickly went there. He didn't want to miss it. And because of soul doing, God gave them mighty impartation upon his life. When he heard there was a man called Smith Wigglesworth, quickly he flew to Europe and spent time with Smith Wigglesworth. He heard there was a lady called Catherine Kuhlman. Guess what? He was there quickly. He heard there was a man called Oral Roberts. He was there. And all those became his friends. No wonder a big anointing came upon his life. Amen. Amen. So let's not be proud and arrogant, think I have it all, I know it all. No, you don't. There is more, hallelujah, that God is about to release great anointing, greater wisdom, great understanding than ever before in your life. I have been serving the Lord for the last 48 years or so. And no, when I have been thinking about it, I said, I was telling some people in another conference, I told them, how I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be? Because I'm yet to walk on water. You see, Peter was told, come. And he walked on water, a human being. And so on and so forth. Paul walked with God until he gave him opportunities to go and visit heaven and then come back. And so on. So when I read the scriptures, I'm looking at Daniel, I'm looking at other men, I'm thinking like, oh, I think there is more that I... You see, if you settle that you are okay, you become like what happened with me and Heidi Baker. Me, I was settled because I was a distress superintendent with the Assembly of God. I was doing my own thing. She felt so hungry and rushed to where the Holy Ghost was moving, and mighty things started happening. What I'm saying, I'm inviting to that spiritual hunger and thirst. And the scripture says that as you hunger and thirst after righteousness, God will release the blessing upon you. Amen. Amen. It's going to happen this year. I told this story, and I want to repeat again to the other the first service. These two stories, I have told them here before. These are true. Both of them are true stories. A young man was traveling to come to settle when many people are coming from Europe to America, got in a big ship, and he's traveling, and he brought his crackers and a few things so that he can eat on the way. And so he was eating, and just before he could land in New York or any of the ports wherever he was, somebody approached him and said, I have noticed that when we are having in the dining, when we are having the feast and we are eating, you just eat your crackers in your room. And the guy said, yeah, because I didn't have the money to pay for the food in the dining. He said, do you have a ticket? Oh, sure. He produced the ticket, and the ticket was the same like everybody else. And the guy said, listen, your ticket allows you to eat everything that is being served in this thing. You don't have to eat your crackers. And the guy had to really, you know, that's the only chance he had to just before he got this, when he went to the dining. The whole time he was struggling, he didn't realize it was all paid for through his tickets. Guess what? That's how some of us have been living. See, when God says, I'm Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, he did not become that after you and I were created. His names were God who heals, God who supplies the needs. Even before you are created, he had already made it possible that anything you desire will be supplied for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not like he has to think about it. It's all paid for. Everything you desire in the kingdom of God has already been paid for. Yours is only to enter and possess the land. Hallelujah. It's been paid for. It is not like fighting or anything else. I like the words that God told Joshua just before they enter the land of promise. He tells them to go and take possession. Well, the enemies were still there, but as far as God was concerned, victory was accomplished before. Whatever battles of 2019 that will come against you, in Jesus' name, they have already been conquered. Victory is yours. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sabaoth has made it possible, even before you are born, that all of that is paid for, is taken care of. Just go in and take position. Somebody say amen. You see, that other story I told was a man. There's a man we call the Prince of Preachers in history. His name was Charles Spurgeon. He was a powerful, powerful preacher from England. And one time he was told one of the parishioners was not doing very well, so he goes to see this old lady that was struggling physically, financially. And he looks and he sees a picture frame on the wall with a little paper in the frame. And he goes there and he sees something unusual. He says, sister, what is this? He says, oh, I used to take care of a very wealthy man, and when he died, he gave me that piece of paper, and I didn't want to lose it because he signed his name. I put it in the picture frame. And he said, can I have your little paper for a few days? He said, yeah, no problem. So he goes to the local bank and says, do you recognize this signature in this check? And the people said, oh, we've been wondering why nobody came to claim all that money all this time. It was a signed check, and the old lady put it in a picture frame. She didn't know that she all this time she's been sweeping for other people, working for other people, and yet she was a wealthy woman. She was supposed to be enjoying life. She was suffering. What I'm saying is, some of us are exactly like that. We have a signed check by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the scripture says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above even that which you can imagine. Amen. Amen. Every need in your life, physical, spiritual, mental, financial, material, family, your children, your life, everything has been covered by the provision of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all done, it's all done, it's all done. And this is the year, this is why I'm inviting to become like the sons of Issachar, to expect and believe from the Father. And the first thing you need to do is know that God has that purpose or plan for you to succeed. That's the first thing we need to understand, that he is not thinking about making it possible. He says in Psalms 139, verse 15 and 16, you can read it on your own. He says that God has written our lives in his book. It's not that he will write. By the time you are born in this life, his book is completed about you. And I don't see God writing for you to be sick and defeated and frustrated. No! He says he has already written your book, and if I know anything about my God, he has written things about your victory, your anointing, your healing, your power, your wisdom. It's all written and completed. You are just to walk in that which God has already written in your book. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's written. You see, in Psalms, in Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, he says this. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Then he makes these words. He says, declaring the end from the beginning. In other words, he has looked at your life, and he's not writing now from the beginning. He knows what shall be. He says, from the end to the beginning. He has that. He knows about you, everything about you. And even, you see, the devil is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if there are some voices you've been hearing about defeat and disease and any negative things, it's because the Bible says the devil is the father of lies. So those voices you've been hearing about your defeat, your frustration, is the voice of the enemy. And you have to learn to silence it. How do I silence it? That's the next thing I want to emphasize. I have to get deep in the Word of God. Amen. Because as I read the scriptures and pray, then I'm able to silence the other voice. And also, I get to know the voice of the Lord through the Word of God. Remember, even the Son of God, Jesus himself, when the devil came against him, every time he said, it is written. He had to learn to silence the voice of the enemy with the Word of God. And it's key, it is key. I remember that word about the young people in Psalms 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his ways pure? By guiding it according to thy word. So it is important that every one of you, not only on Sunday, because that's our problem. We love coming to church and singing on Sunday and reading the Bible. That's wonderful, but it's not enough. Tell your neighbor, it's not enough. Amen. Yeah, because it's only 2 hours or less. You know, you come here in the church and sit. It's not enough. We need at home to spend times in the Word of God. You see, in my home, there's something we started 30 years ago, and we practiced it. Even now that the kids are gone, although one of them has come back home, kids will go and come. And but we, in the evenings, we do that. We say, okay, it's not enough. Let's get back in the Word of God. And then we read, like this week we've been doing the book of Amos, a wonderful, wonderful prophetic book, and so on and so forth. So we will read and meditate and talk about it. And then that's not enough for me. That's not even enough. What I do with my wife and kids, that's not enough. I also like to have my own personal time with the Lord. Amen. Somebody say personal altar. Before I come to the church altar here, I have my own personal altar every single day. Spend time on meditating on the things of God. Amen. Amen. It is key. It is very important. God is going to use you. This is a year of miracles. This is a year of angelic visitations. But you see, even for the angels, guess what? The scripture says in Psalms 91 about God allowing or commanding his angels to be with us all the time. And then in Hebrews 1 verse 14 says that the angels serve with us because we are the ones called into salvation. But guess what? Psalms 3 says that those angels, they heed the word of God. So even though it promises that the angels will be there, it says they only heed, they obey the word. In other words, whenever, you see, even in your prayer, you can pray a worldly prayer. You can pray a prayer that does not have the word of God. If you really want to know how to pray right, prayers that will be answered automatically, pray the word prayers. Somebody say word prayers. Yes, the prayers that are in accordance to the word of God. You can never go wrong. You can never go wrong if you pray the scriptures. Hallelujah. As you pray the scriptures and make declarations, especially the prayers that are prayed in the beginning of Ephesians, we'll read it in a moment here. If you pray those prayers, there's no devil that will stop. There is not, because the angels are about to, and when they hear you making those declarations, they say, oh, that's the word of God. They just come and serve you. Amen. Amen. Pray the scriptures. Hallelujah. Know the scriptures. And this is the year of that breakthrough. Don't become like me. What I did when God started moving, I ignored him. In the mid-90s. And some people benefited. I did not benefit. I'm here just making a confession. Confession is good for the soul. Amen. Yeah, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't pursue. But you see, God's plan is established. Like I've said, he is not like thinking what will be is already done. When it comes to your victory, your healing, your miraculous healing, breakthrough life is already done. It is for you. That's why I told you those two stories of people. Somebody, he's already in the ship, so he's doing the right thing, like you. You are saved. But he was living on crackers. Some of us are living crackers. We need to be living in the dining. Amen. We're supposed to be in the dining and we are living on crackers while everybody is dying. Why? Because we are not saturated with the word. Amen. There's a man I respect very much in history, Smith Wigglesworth, because he was not like me in a few things, but there's something he loved this book. Actually, if you came to his home, that's why I said he was not like anybody that I know. If you came in his home with any other book, he told you to leave it outside. No magazines, no newspaper. One brother went there with a newspaper, and he told him, brother, thank you, welcome, but leave your books out there. He only allowed the word of God in his room, and that's the only book he read. And guess what? You know, most of the times we think if we read a lot of other things, we'll be powerful. That guy read only the Bible, and he was one of the most powerful men of God. Yeah. Healing, signs, and wonder. He raised the dead. Actually, they say of Smith Wigglesworth that he did not know no for an answer, even for heaven. He didn't know for an answer. One time he prayed for a dead person. The dead guy did not get alive. He took the dead body, threw it against the wall. In Jesus' name, come back to life. And the dead, that would be almost abusive, but he didn't care. Smith Wigglesworth said, they said to life. He picked again, I don't know how many times. And finally, the guy said in heaven, God says, oh, you better go. That guy is crazy. That guy is crazy. He will kill you the second time. The guy came back to life. True. A true story. Just kept going. He didn't know how to take no for an answer. He understood that when Jesus says it's finished, he meant it. When Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. My salvation, my healing, my deliverer, my victory, Everything was paid for in full. Hallelujah. We need men and women like Smith Wigglesworth who will not take no for an answer. And hold on and believe that it's for you. What I'm saying this morning, and as we enter this year of 2019, is to believe that there is more in this kingdom. There is more. There is more. There is more. There's more glory. Look, Moses, remember the miracles in Egypt? He is calling all kinds of miracles. The 10 plagues, remember? Anybody would have been told the CV of this man would have said, great prophet, miracles, signs, and wonders. And yet, this is important, in the wilderness, he tells the Lord, Father, I want to see your glory. What is he saying? Lord, I have had miracles and signs and wonders, but I still realize there is more. Moses said, I realize that now what I need, the next level, is to have your glory and your presence in my life. Because when that glory comes, then everything else will happen. The signs and miracles will happen when his glory comes down. May God give us a longing for his glory. Let me read a little bit of Ephesians chapter 2, well, beginning from verse 1. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Somebody say, we are blessed. He says he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, you better underline that one. It's not a few blessings. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. That's what I was hinting at, that our blessing and breakthrough is not something God is thinking about. He has already done it before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Somebody say, we are accepted. Put it personal, I am accepted. Yeah, you are accepted in every blessing in the kingdom of God. You are blessed. And then he says something here, which I want to, chapter 2. Go to chapter 2, verse 6. And has raised us up. Somebody say, he has raised us up. And made us sit together in heavenly places. Look at this. God has saved us. Of course, that chapter is the one that talks about us being saved by the grace of God. He has made us alive in Jesus by his blood and so on and so forth. And then he says, not only has he now saved us, he has now removed us and spiritually raised us up, made us to sit with him in heavenly places. In the real sense is that you are walking on your 2 feet here on earth, but spiritually you are also seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now listen to me. When you are seated beside Christ, there is nothing that can be denied of you. You are seated in a place of authority and power. So if something is being denied, it's probably you are losing out in knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you really knew who you are, that God in Christ has lifted you up. Now, if he says, if this verse said, oh, he has lifted the pastors up. Now, probably we'll do like the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, there were only three classes of people who received the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was the prophets, priests, and kings. Godly kings, of course, in Israel. Those are the only people who used to receive the Holy Spirit. And so, talk to the other people and tell them what the Holy Spirit has said. But from the day of Pentecost, and of course with the prophecy of Joel, he says, I'll pour out my spirit upon how many people? All flesh. So all of us now become candidates of the anointing of God, of the breakthroughs in the Holy Ghost. And so every child of God now can receive the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if we can come like that lady I mentioned, who went to the Lord, says, I am thirsty, I need you, God, I need you, God, I need you, God. And then he was filled with the glory of God, went back to Africa, and has now planted 4,000 churches. Not because of him being, her being special, but just because she cried to the Lord. Amen. God is about to break like a mighty flood for America and around the world. He has said it. It is. It's not might be. He is going to move. But we have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. We have to get in the scripture so that when he comes, then we'll know what commands to give. Remember I told you the angelic is only listening to those who know the word. Because they only obey what the word says. Not what every whim, whatever we think. No. The anointing of God and what you declare has to be in accordance to the word of God. And when you do, and you're walking in the Lord, see the scripture says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the spirit and you shall not gratify the desires of the flesh. So as we walk in the spirit and make biblical declarations in the, according to the word, there is nothing too hard for us. Mighty breakthroughs will start happening. I will not be surprised if I hear that the next time I come here and I hear that God is using you in this and the other. I will not. You know, I will not be surprised. I remember one young fellow we raised in our church. He came, he didn't even stay long, but he was my interpreter because we use two languages in Nairobi most of the times. So we speak English and Swahili when because of the many tribes we have in the country, so on and so forth. And so he was my interpreter one time. And he, that boy just believed God. And now he went and God started using him. Great anointing. Now he has about 5,000 people he's ministering to in his local congregation. God can do it. He's faithful. I remember another young man I met in Bible school in Africa, 1977. And we were in school together. He told me, Armstrong, I'm going back to my country of Zambia. And he said, I'm believing God. He had such faith. He said, he didn't have anything that, he said, I'm believing God. And when I get there, I'm going to preach in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I said, good. And we prayed together. His name was Joseph Imakando. Today, if you go on the internet, you will see him there. He has a 10,000 seat church that God blessed him. You see, you make those kind of declarations by faith. See, your greatest enemy is your tongue. Because you have power to create with your tongue. The scripture says that death and life are in the power of your tongue. What declarations you make as a child of the king, that's what is going to happen in your life. So avoid those negative death-like stuff. See, I know I told you this funny story, and it's also in my first book. I have a book, but I didn't bring it with me, Living Behind, Developing Relation with Integrity. When I wrote that book, I gave a funny story about words. I was a young fellow newly in America, and that was before I met Pastor Drew, quite some time ago. And I was being driven by these Mennonite kids from the Conservative Mennonite Church, and they were taking me somewhere to preach. I didn't know how to drive those days. I'd come from Africa. You see, in my family, we didn't even own a car, leave alone a car. We didn't own a bicycle. So I had come to America. I didn't know how to drive. So they were driving to preach. And then they told a story. They said, oh, Armstrong, what would you say if somebody told you this or did this to you? I mean, somebody had done something wrong to them. I didn't even think twice. I said, oh, I'll tell them to go to hell. And the whole car, those holy Mennonite boys, they kept quiet, and I'm thinking, what did I do? I didn't know. I said, what did I do? They said, Armstrong, did you realize you just cursed? You know, you spoke a curse word. I said, what is a curse word? Because in Africa, the only way I knew the word curse is if your parents were angry with you and they spoke negative things before they died, that Africans are afraid of that. When your father or mother speak negative something before they die, so we call that the curse will come upon you. The other thing I told them I knew about cursing is when a witch doctor or a sorcerer spoke negatively, demonic stuff, you know, they cursed you, throwing a bad omen over your life. So I said, those two I understand. He said, no. He says, anytime you speak something that is not to the glory of God, about others. You see, that's a curse. You see, that's what we call a curse word, and you're not supposed to say. And from that time, 1982, when I first came to America, I have never told anybody to go to hell. I changed my language. And when I read the scriptures, I realized how foolish I had been. Because if there is anything as a believer, you can never wish anybody, even your worst enemy, to go to hell. And so my tongue immediately, I changed. From that time, you never hear me play about with you. Because now, from that time, and even with my studies, I realized that heaven is real, but so is hell. So I don't use that carelessly. I don't send people to hell because I realize that the worst thing you can wish anybody. I had to change my mouth. You see, there is power in your tongue. Amen. You can literally condemn your family and your children to the kingdom of darkness. You become partners with the devil. Anytime you say go to hell, you become a partner with the enemy. The devil is saying, ha, 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 you are part of us. We are the people who like people to go to hell, and here you are wishing those people. Are we together? My tongue, my mouth, I need to share, speak positive. Even the worst of sinners, I don't want to condemn them to hell. I want to bring them to the, you know, I don't even use the term what in hell. No, I don't want to know what is in hell. If anything, I say what on earth. I don't care. Whatever is happening in hell, let it happen there. That's not part of me. Are we together? I have, and you can tune up your mouth to speak godly stuff, calling people to the kingdom of God. I had a friend of mine who has now gone to be with the Lord the last 20 years in Ohio that I knew way back. And our brother, Bishop Willie Mitchell, an old friend of mine, he, anytime you asked him how he's doing, it didn't matter what was happening in life, he says, I am blessed beyond human comprehension. I mean, he never said, it didn't matter what was happening in his life, whether the devil was coming with a storm in his life, and you say, hi, Brother Mitchell, how are you doing? I am blessed beyond any human comprehension. And guess what? God started changing his life, and by the time he died, he was really blessed. Even his tiny little church had grown now to have hundreds. God blessed him beyond human comprehension. He was so blessed, actually it became part of his life so that whenever he died, that's what they wrote on his grave. Willie Mitchell, blessed beyond human comprehension. Now that's what I'm saying, that for you, allow God to tame your tongue and speak godly things, bring healing and breakthroughs and anointing. That's what God is calling you for this year. This is a year of breakthrough for your life, for your family, for your children. Amen. And don't allow the devil to give you anything else. Hallelujah. Receive that breakthrough for your family. Even if it doesn't seem like, don't worry. Speak what you know. Speak in agreement with the scriptures. There's a Greek word I loved when I was learning Greek way back. I don't remember much of Greek because I did it almost 40 years ago. But when I was in Bible school, they started teaching Greek, and there's a word that is called homologeo. Homologeo. It has two, that homo, same, logeo, speaking. Speak the same S. Homologeo. I love to speak what God has spoken. Amen. The same. Whatever he has said, that's why I care. And you know what? Sometimes it may seem like it's not happening, but I'll keep declaring what God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Before you know it, that's exactly what's happening in your life. Because you spoke life into situations and circumstances. Don't ever allow in your life that circumstances be the ones to determine the direction you go. No. And I gave the story in the first service. I told them how we were going to Africa and things were not working out, and some people stepped out from the group that was going with me. But I told them I'm going there because I don't depend upon circumstances. I depend upon what God has told me to do. Because I realized the safest place to be in this life is not America. No, the safest to be, the place to be is in the will of God. Hallelujah. Once you are doing what God has told you to do, you will be very safe, whatever. Even in the Arabic world, the Islamic world, the Hinduistic world, you will be safe there if you are doing His will. Because God obligates Himself to be available to His people. Oh, why would He call Himself Jehovah Shammah? Jehovah Shammah means I am available to you. I am present among you wherever you are. He is not Jehovah Shammah when I'm in America. No, He is Jehovah Shammah when I'm in Africa, when I'm in India. Any place that I am, God is the same. And listen, He did not give Himself that name when I was born, before the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. So I'm saying this because I don't want to stay here forever. And I can, you know, in Africa, in Africa we take time. But I'm saying this, the only thing that can bring defeat and those things, not miracles not happening, is allowing loopholes in your life. The scripture says in Ephesians 4 verse 25 to 27, therefore putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. He says, be angry and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Then this is a verse I'm looking, verse 27. No give place to the devil. Some of the Bibles will say, no give a loophole or a foothold to the devil. So the important here is, the devil cannot, there is no place in your life that he has any rights to. Not in your body, not in your soul, not in your spirit. Satan has no place in your life. You are safe and secure. Somebody say, I'm safe and secure. You are under the blood of Jesus Christ. If there is a place that the enemy will come through, is if you open the door. And carelessness of speech or sinful habits will open loopholes to the enemy. I close with this story that you know. We are not going to read it in Numbers, three chapters, chapter 22, 23, and 24. There was a man by the name of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet, a strange prophet, actually, because he was not an Israelite, but he knew the ways of God. I don't know how he knew. And this Balaam is invited by the king of the, is it Moabites? Amorites? I don't remember the name. Whoever they were. He is invited to curse Israel for him so that they can be defeated. And he has paid some money. He told, I will give you money to come and curse these people so that they can get defeated. And he refuses the first time, but after they send him more money and more senior leaders, he agrees to go. And he goes and he's ready to curse the people of God. And if you remember the story, he makes an altar and faces Israel, but every time he opens his mouth to curse them, instead of saying you'll be defeated, he says you'll be victorious. He says the opposite. If you have never read that story, please go in the Bible and read it. It's a beautiful story. Every time he opened his mouth, he even one time he opened his mouth hoping to curse Israel, he blesses them with a savior. I mean, one of the best prophecies about Jesus was given by this guy. Can you imagine? He wants to curse them, he blesses them with the savior of the world. He sees, he tells them, you know, a star will come upon you. And he tells about Jesus. I mean, he was going to curse them. He gives them a savior. He could not curse them. However, and I know I have these verses here I want to give you so that you can have them. In Revelation, you can read later. We don't have time. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And the book of Jude, verse 11. Jude is one chapter, so verse 11. Those three sects, Revelation 2, 14, 2 Peter 2, 15 to 16, and Jude 1, 11. Those three areas are where we know what happened, because we really don't know. Because what we realize, this guy is trying to curse Israel. He cannot curse them. He cannot curse them. He cannot curse them. And the next thing we know, they are dying like dominoes, 27,000, I'm thinking like, what happened? And the Old Testament does not explain us very well. But through these other verses I've given you, we know what happened. He told them, he calls the king in his private chambers. And he tells them, you know what? Israelites, you cannot curse them. They are blessed. There is nothing that can penetrate their covering except if they open the door by sin. And so he tells them, you prepare a big party. And let your ladies dress the way they want to dress, you know, in a seductive way for the Israel young men. And so he tells them, when you prepare a party and do those kind of things, things will start happening. And when those things happen, these people will not realize they just opened the door. And so the Israelites, they didn't know what happened because the party was prepared. And the king says, oh, you are our neighbors. Oh, praise the Lord, you are wonderful people. Come and eat with us. And while they are doing that, they prepared meat that was offered to demons. And they served them in the table. So here are Israelites who are not supposed to touch things offered to demons. And they are eating meat that was offered to idols. You read the verses that I've mentioned. That's what they did. They gave them meat offered to demons. And then they prepared their girls. And the young men of Israel were seduced sexually by these guys. The next thing you know, they did not need anybody to curse them. They just cursed themselves. And so as we enter 2019, that is my warning for you as well. God, like Israel, has protected us. The devil cannot touch you. You are a child of the King. He has supplied for every need in your life, in the physical, in the spiritual, in the financial. He wants to bless you. This is the year of the breakthrough. But don't you become like Israel. Nobody could curse Israel up until they opened the doors themselves. God had protected them. The devil tried to curse them. No, if you read that story, it's a funny story because the guy who tried to curse from here, he's unable. He says, okay, let's move there. He does another altar. He tries. He's not unable. Okay, let's try. He tried several hills everywhere. He couldn't. But as soon as they fell into sexual sin and ate the food sacrificed to demons, the next thing you know, there was death in the camp. Let me tell you, because I want to add on a very positive note. You're going to be healed this year. There will be miracles and signs and wonders. But don't allow any loophole. God is going to touch you, and he's going to use you mightily to touch many. This is the year of mighty breakthrough. This is the time of the angels coming, visitation of angels. And whereas you use the word of God, the angels will literally obey you and bring healings and miracles to your family and to your neighborhoods. But don't you allow any loopholes. God will bless you. And guess what? When the blessing comes, it will come even for the church. Because as you get blessed in your family, so will the church grow. So will the healings happen. Amen. Things will start happening. Let me give you final. I say final. I don't want to be like Paul. Let me close this one so that you can believe me. One final story. Let's tell you about obedience and when you start doing the right thing. A few years ago, actually several years, a young man came to my office in Kenya and told me, Pastor, I would like for you to pray for my little business because I have just worked my thing and I have made soap, commercial soap, that we can use for washing offices and stuff. I actually almost ignored the boy because I'm thinking, like, you made it yourself? You know, he's the one telling me he made the soap to use it for business and so on. So I said, okay, I'll pray for you. So I pray for his business. And I said, okay, God bless you. And then a few months, or he calls me and says, you know, can you please release me from being in the church because we have moved to a far off place. I'm not able to be coming this far to the church. I said, oh, no problem. I prayed for him and released him. So I didn't see him for the next over 10 years, 15 years. And I remember I prayed for his little things. But the boy was very faithful. And when he went, you see, I'm talking about the power of the word and also praying in accordance to the scriptures, okay? So this last time I was going to Kenya after I was here, just this last year, I received a message on the internet, and this other pastor was telling me, he said, would you please he calls me daddy. He said, "Daddy, would you please choose to do you have a Sunday available to go and preach for so-and-so who used to be our member?" I couldn't even remember the young man. And he, because now he has built a church, he's a preacher, the boy I prayed for years ago. "Can you go for, he wants you to preach for him." I said, "I don't know." Finally, I checked my calendar. I said, "Oh yeah, I have one Sunday. I will come and preach for him." So I made arrangements and they came and picked me where I was staying in a hotel. They took me. While we were going to preach for this young man, remember I left when he was just a little boy who had just told me the soap, and he didn't even have a bicycle. He couldn't even drive, he had nothing. And when I prayed for him, but faithfulness, and that's what I'm talking about this year, as you enter this year, may God give you faithfulness. Amen. Because he will multiply the blessings when you are faithful, even in your stewardship, in the area of tithes and offerings. You better be faithful, because God is about to open many wide open doors of finances and businesses. Amen. Amen. So this young boy, I went, and as we entered the church, I noticed the church is a beautiful building. They had a beautiful church. And then the land around it, then I saw a huge mansion, a Beverly Hill kind of home in Kenya. And I was going to ask the young man, "Oh my goodness, you have a very rich man next to your church." But I didn't ask. I went and did the preaching. And after I did the preaching, he stood up and said, "You know this man you see here? It's my spiritual daddy. I want us to bless him." And he said, he told the congregation, "If you want, you maybe join me in blessing him. But if not, no problem, because I want to bless him." He had prepared a big fat envelope for me. And so he blessed me. And his church joined him to bless me. And they blessed me quite a bit of money. Now, that was not the important part. After the church, he tells me, "Oh, Daddy, we are going to have dinner in my home." So we got out and we started walking towards the mansion, the big home. And I said, "Do you mean this is your home?" He said, "Yeah, that's my home." He tells me, "Oh, this is my farm. And actually, this church, I gave them the land to build the church." The little boy I prayed for is a millionaire now, you know, because of faithfulness. Faithfulness. I want you to know this. As you are faithful to the Lord, God will enlarge your territory. And not only in the spiritual, but even in the material. He is faithful. The guy I told in the other service, I don't have the time to explain, it's a long story, who pointed to a boy in Africa and told him, "Because you've been faithful today, the world will stand for you in the future." That boy that was pointed by that great man of Africa, who has now gone to be the Lord, the boy he pointed to today owns his own jet and an airline, a whole airline belongs to him. Why? Because he was faithful. So I am commending to each and every one of you, walk in faithfulness. Be a good steward of the things God has entrusted you. And this year, you will remember these words, because God will enlarge your territory. Can we stand up for prayer? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is it that you desire in your heart? I want to remind you as we pray that all that you desire is not like it will be paid for. God has made sure it's paid for. He has written in your book, and your book, if I am going to interpret well, is only victory, anointing, breakthrough, provision. That's what is written in your book. And he's not thinking about writing it. He's already finished. That's what it says in Psalms 139, your book is already written and completed. So it is for you and me by faith to walk into that victory right now. Amen. And as I pray for you this morning and make declarations, I want you by faith to enter into the room of breakthroughs and victory in your life. Amen. Because it's a new year, a year of breakthroughs, a year of divine visitation, a year of angelic visitation, it's yours. If you want me to pray with you right now, lift up your hand and receive it. Father, in Jesus' holy name, it's a special year, it's a special season. We have seen fulfillment of Scripture in our own lifetime. Just like the Scripture says, many of the old prophets would have desired to live today, because this is a powerful year of breakthroughs. Spiritually, they saw years of salvations and healings and miracles, and they desire to be where we are right now. Dear Lord, I pray that we'll avail ourselves and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, we will receive that which you have already attained for us. We will not struggle. This is a year of breakthrough. This is a year that we are receiving our healing. Right now, in Jesus' name, every one of you that is ill, I decree and declare upon you in Jesus' name, divine health. In Jesus' name, receive your healing. Receive your miracle. Receive your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Some of you who are starting little businesses like the young man in Africa, I decree prosperity and breakthrough of finances upon your lives right now in the name of Jesus. Remember, it's only the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he has no place in your life. You are a child of the King, and right now I decree and declare the covering and the protection of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus upon your life. Satan will not touch you. I speak blessings and breakthroughs upon your life, your ministry, your business, your desires. May you prosper. May you be encouraged. May you have the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. Receive it now. Lift up your hand and just say, I receive in Jesus' name. I receive in Jesus' name. Bless the name of the Lord. Just say, I receive. I bless you, Lord, for breakthrough. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for anointing. Thank you that you are doing it, oh God. I receive it now in Jesus' holy name. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Well, I will dismiss you in a minute. Can we just sit on down just for a minute? And